Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. And first and foremost, I want to wish all of our listeners a happy Easter. We are still in the octave, so I think it's 4 days down, 4 days to go in these 8 days that we call Easter, culminating with Divine Mercy Sunday this coming Sunday. So we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you so much for all that you do for us here at In His Sign, both your financial and prayerful contributions that have kept us on the air for some 40 years now. And especially in these times, we need it more than ever. So keep doing what you're doing. If you can do a little bit more, that's great. One of the ways you can help us out is coming up in less than 3 weeks now. It's right around the corner. Our annual golf outing will be held on Monday, April the 26th out at Old York Road Country Club in Springhouse, Pennsylvania. And I had a chance to talk to Maureen before we went on the air, and we have a lot of golfers. We got 74 signed up, I think, which is awesome. I think that's more than we've had in the past. I think everybody's itching to get outside and socialize a little bit. So we're not at capacity. So if you're still interested, you can get in touch with Maureen here, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. You can also download a flyer on our website at inhissign.com. If you scroll to the bottom of the homepage, you'll see a link there to download the flyer. Bottom line is you can support us by playing golf, and if you do, you get a couple meals with that, lunch and dinner. You can also help us out by sponsoring a meal, sponsoring a hole. Again, all the details are on that flyer. And you can also help by perhaps contributing a prize that will be auctioned off as part of our silent auction. So any of those ways, anything else you can think of, we're more than happy to accept your help. Again, give Maureen a call here if you have any questions. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. We're also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us either through the Our House Ministries website or give Maureen a call here at In His Sign. And we like to begin the show each week with prayer, so we will kick it off with the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization, Matt being one of the patrons of our show. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Venerable Matt Talbot, St. Monica.
Pray for us.
St. Maximilian Kolbe and St. Mark G.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. And that other voice is my good friend, Father Doug McKay. How you doing, Father?
All right, Ken. Hello, everyone.
You got right into the ad there and forgot to introduce you, so
old.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Yeah, maybe. But
I don't know. I'm feeling it. I didn't know I had a body till I turned 50.
Yeah. Well, I got 60 right around the corner, so I'm right there with you, pal.
All right.
And speaking of dates and anniversaries, we mentioned it last night at our Calyx meeting. You know, I think it'll be today's the 7th, 9 days till our 5-year anniversary of Saints and Sinners. So two more weeks. We've been at this for 5 years, a little more than 5 years ago, I guess. Kathleen gave her gave another yes when she agreed to take on the second hour each day, and asked you and I if we'd help her out on Wednesdays. So,
yeah, I remember that. It seemed like maybe last year we sat in the Chinese restaurant
and talked
about it.
Yep.
5 years. Wow.
It was the same answer you always give when it comes to money, right? We got the money; it's just in other people's pockets, and we know that more than anywhere at Our House Ministries and here at In His Sign. People have been so generous over the years, recognizing the good work that is being done, and we certainly appreciate it because we would not be able to do it without them. Yeah, so this is a one-hour call-in show. You're more than welcome to call in and join in the conversation. Again, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. Perhaps you're listening from a distance over our website at inhissign.com. You can call toll-free at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Bottom of the hour, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. So if God's touched you in a particular way in the last week or two and you want to be a witness to our listeners, we would love to hear from you. We'll give out the numbers again before we go to the break. And we are, as I mentioned in the very beginning, we are still in the octave of Easter, these 8 days to celebrate the greatest feast in our church that culminates with the greatest feast, the Divine Mercy Sunday, and I'm sure we'll be talking about that as we progress today. But we thought that we would start with the gospel from today's Mass in order to springboard our conversation. So the gospel's taken from the 24th chapter of Luke, verses 13 to 35. That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus. And they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looked downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, how our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women described, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted it to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on further. But they urged him, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that, while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, 'Were our hearts not burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?' So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with whom who were saying, 'The Lord has truly been raised and appeared to Simon.' Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
And I don't know what it was, Father, as I was reading through that Gospel, in a couple spots I actually started to well up. You know,
your heart was burning within you.
Yeah.
As you heard the word.
Yeah, yeah. And just in this season and things that have been going on, shared about it a little bit last night, there's a fire out there that's burning, and you can see it in the number of people that came back to Mass on Easter Sunday. I was talking to Maureen here before we got started, and her church was full again. My home parish of St. Luke's apparently was filled up, standing room only, in my father's parish in Florida. People listening in the parking lot there. People lined up on the sidewalk at the parish in Ocean City, New Jersey. And it's something stirring, Father. And it is palpable. When I start reading things, I got a great guest in the 5 o'clock hour today, and Father Robert Spitzer, and I've been reading a little bit about what he's written, and there's definitely something going on in these times, and I'm looking forward to see how it unfolds. And of course, it begins with the Easter message. And just one more thing, I was in a 12-step meeting early this morning, and I just bit my tongue. You know, in the literature says either God is everything or he's nothing. And that's in a non-denominational 12-step book that we call the Big Book, or the book Alcoholics Anonymous. And then people go on to share, you know, maybe he exists, maybe he doesn't. Maybe there is a power, maybe there's not. And I just want to beat people over the head. And it's, he's real. And there's science, you know, in talking to Father Spitzer and preparing for the show today, he uses scientific evidence to prove he's real. We got a Calix guy in Bob Curlin, an older guy in his 90s, who's a scientist, a physicist, who can prove the existence of God through science. And here we are 2,000 years after all this took place. Jesus predicts his own death, is crucified, lays in a tomb for a few days, rises from the dead. And 2,000 years later, we still question it. And I think that's why I'm getting amped up about, you know, the gospel today and what we're hearing all week. That, and then hearing it this morning, you know, either he's everything or he's nothing. Either he was the greatest, perpetrated the greatest hoax ever in the history of man, or he's real and did everything he said he was going to do and more. And I'm in the latter camp. I believe that that he is risen, that he's alive and well, lives in each and every one of us, and that you know, there's something stirring in these times, and I'm just glad to be a part of it.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Ken, he's certainly touching your heart. Mm-hmm. I can hear that, and thanks for sharing, you know, saying that you were welling up, and just seeing how the Word of God is alive and active and touched your heart there, and just, you know, it's so mysterious. I call them, we all do, Christophanies, and their experiences of the risen Lord. And we don't know what's happening. Like John of Cross would say, you know, I don't know why. But yet it comes out with tears or, you know, God bumps or just a felt love, a peace. It is the risen Lord touching us, and not everyone is aware of it or even open to it. Or perhaps they're living in the darkness of sinfulness and living more in worldliness and not really experience what lives within us. Who lives within us? You know, the risen Lord. And I don't know if you picked up on Monday night at our Franciscan Mass, but something happened to me there at the consecration when I came with doing Eucharistic Prayer 1. And when I start saying that victim, mm-hmm. you know, that pure soul, that victim soul, you know, if you remember, I stopped. I couldn't go on.
You know? Did it again last night, Father, at the Calix Mass.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yep, I did it at the Calix
Mass. Yeah, because I, you know, sometimes I have my eyes closed, and there was a pause, and I'm, yeah, yeah.
I was looking at Kelly, and she was all welling up, and that solicited my tears, too, because I saw the Lord in her, and I went over to her, so we're a bunch of crybabies.
Yeah.
But it is. It's the Lord touching us, tugging at our hearts. And this is a beautiful reading. And I'm just thinking of the outer God experience that I had with this reading when we were discussing in the scriptural class in the seminary. And the commentary was that this is really a structure of the Mass itself, that here we have Jesus walking down the road with two of his disciples, and he starts to talk to them about the Scriptures, the prophets, everything that's pertaining to, you know, the Messiah himself. And then he explains it. So here you have the Liturgy of the Word, and then you have the homily by Jesus himself. And then they get to the, you know, to the village there, to the little inn, and they go to table, to the altar. And he takes bread, and he uses the same Eucharistic language, takes bread, blesses it, and then their eyes are open. And they see, they recognize him in the breaking of the bread. And, of course, the breaking of the bread was, an early name for the Mass itself. They didn't call it the Mass back there. They called it the breaking of the bread, the Mass. So we see this whole structure in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, and the Lord is constantly reminding us there. Even last week, Holy Week, we broke all the aspects up. You know, we did Holy Thursday by itself, the institution of the priesthood and the institution of the Eucharist, and then Good Friday we just focused on the crucifixion of Jesus, and then Sunday the resurrection and the resurrection. We do this at all the Masses. It's all there in that little white host. It's the greatest love story ever told, you know. But that whole thing stayed with us. And there's another honor of God experience I had, Ken. Recently, the last few days, a lot of times I like to repeat my homily where Jesus says, abide with me, come to me, follow me, live in me. And I always talk that word, stay with me, you know, what they say, stay with me. And, I was often saying, stay with me, Lord, stay with me, Lord. But I changed that, you know, to not me staying with him, not me staying with him, but stay with me, but I'm staying with him. I'm following him. I'm staying with Jesus. And I was saying, you know, when this reading came up, I forgot the Emmaus reading was coming up today. It was the same thing, like stay with us, you know. And it's like what we're really saying is, Lord, let us stay with you. Let us follow you. But anyway, I picked up the book, Divine Intimacy, this morning in my morning prayer, and by Father Gabriel. And I just opened it up at random. And here it was talking exactly what I've been thinking about, that it's not that I, that he follows me, but I follow him, and that I stay with him. I abide with him. I go with him. He's taking me somewhere. He's the leader, and I'm following him. He's not following me. So that was kind of like a twist in my thinking, you know, just that, yeah, you know, Lord, let me stay with you all day long. Mm. Let my heart be one with yours, my will one with yours, my breathing, my steps one with yours, just to follow you, Lord, all the way home to where we come from, our Heavenly Father, to where we really belong. But yeah, there's a lot in that reading, but I just take it, you know, the structure of the Mass, and we have it every day, the Mass. I was telling the people on Easter Sunday at the Mass there, Easter Sunday Mass, at the end, I wished them a happy Easter, and I was saying that, you know, this whole one day, these 8 days, it's Easter Sunday, and we're culminating at Easter night at Mercy Sunday when Jesus appears in the room and breathes on them and says, peace be with you, receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you shall forgive are forgiven them. Now he's giving his priest that he ordained at the Holy Thursday, Last Supper, and now he's giving them the faculty to forgive sins. But priests are not the ones who are forgiving. They're not the one changing the bread and wine. They're not the one blessing or hearing the confession. It's Jesus in the priest. The priest is in persona Christi, pontifex, a bridge to Jesus. That the priest is a screen that we meet Jesus in these wonderful, beautiful sacraments of his. So, you know, there's so much to this whole week. Last week, these 8 days, is just trying to take in the resurrection of Jesus, all these post-resurrectional appearances to show us that he's alive and well, and that he's in our midst wherever we go. He's in all the tabernacles of the world, but he doesn't end there. He comes into our hearts when we receive him in Holy Communion. He's there in baptism. We're grafted to him. You know, that's, you know, when we're baptized, christened, christed, grafted to the cross, to him, to his death and resurrection, to eternal life. That's what Easter's all about, eternal life. Life, there's no death. He died our death. And now we rise with him to the Father, to the glory, to the eternal kingdom.
Amen. And, you know, this week, as you mentioned, as we go through the Gospels, we'll have the, you know, Christ appears tomorrow. And, you know, I think about these guys that were on the road to Emmaus, and, you know, everything goes down over the course of Holy Thursday, Good Friday. Easter, Christ rises, and yet all his followers are either dispersed or holed up, scared that they're going to be the next ones to get crucified. And they had all the information. You would have, you know, and it's easy to look back and say, you know, these guys walked the streets of Jerusalem with Jesus for 3 years. They saw the miracles. They heard the predictions, not once, not twice, but three times as to what was going to happen. And then when it goes down, they don't get it. And I don't know that we, 2,000 years later, are much different. We too know the stories. We've had the witnesses. We've had the witness of the saints over the last 2,000 years. We had the gospel proclaimed for the last 2,000 years from our one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And yet there's still times in my own life where it was way too easy to just set it aside and you know, live a life that was so anti-Christian. But when you look at it, and, you know, I'm thinking like Mike McLaughlin, you know, you believe when you believe, as he would say, and it does, it just changes you. And you want to, you know, not beat it into people, but you want people to understand what we understand, to believe what we believe, and to experience what we experience, and to grow closer to our Lord, especially in these times. We're living in a world now that it's so divided, that the line between good and evil is so distinct and clear today. If anybody doubts that, you know, read the newspaper, listen, and then listen to EWTN. Read the newspaper and then listen to In His Sign. Listen to the news and go to Mass. And there's such a clear divide as to what's going on in this world today. And the one thing that we have or should have is that we know who's going to win. We just got to, you know, bide our time, keep doing what we're doing, keep close to the church, keep close to the sacraments, especially the sacraments of confession and Holy Eucharist. Pray more than ever, and good things are on the horizon. I don't know what it is, despite everything that's going on. I got a good friend, Jimmy Trainer, who's an oncology nurse over at Abington, and God bless him and the work he does. A lot of ways I think he's similar to you, Father, when you were at Holy Family Home, and just being around people that are on the verge of death all the time. And Jimmy had sent me a text message yesterday, a young guy, Joe, 33 years old, married with kids, dying of brain cancer. And they were moving him into the hospice yesterday, and God brought him home this morning at 6:45. I don't even know if he was in hospice for 12 hours. And there's you and I and those that believe, we know it's not the end. It's a beginning. It's just a change in our existence. It's not death. Christ conquered it. And with the last couple of shows we've done here, both in the Saints and Sinners and in the 5 o'clock hour, I got something burning, Father. There's definitely something going on.
Yeah, I really can. You know, I was just thinking, you know, when we look at these mysteries and we talk about the crucifixion of Jesus, and sometimes we're talking about, well, was he pierced on the right side or was it the left side? And was it two nails in his feet or just one nail in his feet? And how heavy was the cross? And, you know, we ask these questions and sometimes even argue about them. But, you know, the meaning is Jesus Christ died. That's what it's about. He died our death. And then when you come to Easter Sunday, you know, how heavy was that tombstone? You know, that was it round or was it flat? You know, that Jesus Christ was human, he died. But when you come to the resurrection, it's not about how heavy the tombstone is or heavy the cross is. It's that Jesus Christ, our brother, died on Good Friday. He rose on Easter Sunday to show us he's not only human, he's also divine. Mm. And then you come to the ascension, you know, well, what kind of cloud was it? You know, was it a puffy white cloud? Was it raining that day? You know, the meaning of the ascension is that Jesus Christ ascends to the Father in our humanity. In our humanity, we are divinized, that the victory's already won. Claim the victory. We've already won in 21. And if you want to see the victory won, look at the lives of the saints who stayed with us. Look at the lives of the martyrs who are in ecstasy when they're being killed, who's praying for the ones who are killing them. You know, they've already won. You can't hurt them. Not a hair on their head can be harmed. That's what Jesus said. That's what he meant. The second death will not hurt you. You know, with that we have already won. There is no death. You know, there's new, abundant, glorious life. And it begins now in this life. And then it's like the saints show us that all the way to the end, where there's just one veil to be torn. And it's the beatific vision. All the little flowers says she wouldn't die from tuberculosis. She died out of love. She couldn't go any farther. She was burning up. You know, so, yeah, you know, the Lord is with us. And be not afraid. There's so much fear today with this virus, you know, and people are at one another. And you know, you don't have your mask on, put your mask on, and chasing people out of church. Satan is having a field day in the church today. That we need, it's okay to die. It's even okay to get sick. It's no okay to fight one another and curse one another and hurt one another. That's sinfulness. You know, and it's just that we just, you know, 365 times in the Bible, be not afraid. Fear not. Trust the Lord. He's with us always. Yes, we use reason. We take precautions, but love one another. That's all our Lord asked, you know, over and over again. Do you love me? Then love one another. Love one another as I love you. How did he love us? Look at the cross. And you know how much he loved me, Jesus? This much, Douglas. And he spread out his arms and he died. You know, are we loving one another like that? Are we understanding one another, having compassionate and kindness? Some things you just have to let go for the sense of peace and take the hits, like Jesus did, and open up and not his mouth and went to the cross. He's our example. He shows us the way. We follow him, not the ways of the world, but the ways of Christ. You know, so gentle and meek of heart. Boy, that's where you win. That's where the devil gets beaten down every time. In love, not in judgmental attitudes and condemning. In love, we beat Satan, and we put evil in its place, and goodness thrives again and again and again. Do what he tells us. Listen to Jesus. Follow him. Do what he does. And boy, it'll be heaven on earth, Ken.
Amen. And, you know, really looking, in some ways looking forward to it, in other ways, not so much the tornness we have, but you're absolutely right about, you know, loving one another. I actually got a phone call, before the show today and, from a good friend and who's debating whether or not to get the vaccine. And I don't want to have that debate on the air, obviously, but the issue that it's causing with her family, because she's not made up her mind yet. And going through similar things in my family and heated arguments about, you know, what's going on and who needs to do what. And and that's why I say that the stark division has never been more clear than it is today.
And,
you know?
Again, what Satan's thrust, right? Divide and conquer.
Amen.
It's his whole thrust.
Amen. And for those that are interested in the topic, you're going to want to stick around in the 5 o'clock hour, because that's what we're going to be talking about with Father Robert Spitzer in a new book he's written about the cosmic struggle between good and evil. And a great book that he's written. But You'll want to stick around for that. Listen, we're at the bottom of the hour, Father, so we're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we want to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, but we can't have it unless somebody calls. So give us a call, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or toll free, 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, Father DeLacy here, and I owe a great debt of gratitude to the In His Sign radio ministry. It was this radio ministry that I listened to when I was going from being a lukewarm Catholic to an engaged Catholic, and this ministry really majorly affected the Catholic that I am today. Kathleen McCarthy in particular has an uncanny ability to speak to the heart, and when she speaks to the heart, she speaks with God's love, with His grace, and with His mercy. I can honestly say that I am a better Catholic, a better man of God, and have experienced the healing and joy of the gospel because of the great ministry of Kathleen McCarthy. And so I encourage others to listen to her so that they can experience the beautiful work that God does through her beautiful words.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and my good friend Father Doug McKay. Again, we want to thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign. Don't forget about our golf outing coming up on April the 26th. If you need more information, go to our webpage at inhissign.com. Scroll to the bottom and you can download the flyer or give Maureen a call here at In His Sign. So, looks like we got at least one caller so far. Father, I'm going to go ahead and get our good friend Patrick. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, Ken. How are you?
All right, brother. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
What's going
so
on?
So I wanted to talk about the reading this morning and getting choked up like yourself at Mass today, but I really want to get to the Odd or God. And last night I actually reached out to another Cadex member, George, who's going to be there this Tuesday, so he says, to explain to him what had happened last night. And after the meeting was over and we were out front, and Bob's a prayer warrior, and he suggested we get together and pray, you know, for the suffering person. And I had tears in my eyes and was laughing, like a humble, thankful laugh, because I literally was getting high in that alley right next to the fence 5 years ago. Like, there I am 5 years ago in that, and I could see myself over there as we were in prayer on the side of the sidewalk on Myrtlewood Street in Grace Barry.
Different high.
Yeah, man.
So, and the feelings that, like, I just felt like I felt relief, and I felt like everybody should know this. And another real quick honor, God, what you talked about today, that was the changing point in my belief when I was in church and that priest or whoever read that scripture and it said, God is all, in all, or nothing at all. And I was like, I better get busy believing.
Amen. And it
Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah, and last night, Patrick, was pretty cool. I was talking to Father afterwards, as I usually do on Tuesdays, getting ready for the radio show and what have you. And, you know, there was a time where there was no way I would want to be seen praying with anybody on a sidewalk, you know. And right after we did it last night, and, you know, because, you know, I think it was Ronnie said he was going to go home and pray for him, and Bob said, why wait? Let's do it now. And so we have this spontaneous Hail Mary in the middle of Myrtlewood Street. And it reminded me a number of years ago, I was sharing with Father when Harry McKay was in the hospital. And Kathleen McCarthy, Father, and I went to pay him a visit. And I don't know what spurred Kathleen to do it, but as we were coming out of the We came out of the hospital and walked around the corner walking. I think we had Father's car at the time. And, you know, right in the middle of whatever street we were on, Kathleen felt a need to pray over Father. And I remember, I think it may have been like the first time I ever witnessed something like that. And I'm kind of looking around, you know, wondering what people are thinking. People are walking by. And last night I didn't care. You know, it doesn't matter what other people think, and they can think we're kooky, they can think we're insane, they can think whatever they want to think, but the bottom line is when five of us are standing there in the middle of Myrtlewood Street praying a Hail Mary together because there's a young man out there that really needs help, and while we can be the channels for it, God is the ultimate helper. He's the ultimate physician, and God's the one that's going to see to it that he gets the help he needs, you know, whether it's through us or others, but, you know, it's in God's hands. And so to be able to stand there with four other men, and, you know, all, I think pretty much like-minded that, there is no fear, you know, God's got this and we can pray wherever we want, whenever we want, however we want. And, you know, if people want to, you know, say something or laugh or whatever, have at it. But, you know, we're doing what we believe is not only good for us, but good for the folks that we're praying for. So I know Bob listens once in a while. If he's listening, I just want to thank Bob for taking the initiative to speak up. And I tell the story all the time about back in 93 or 94 when, you know, I did the same thing. I said to two guys I'm riding in the car with, let's pray a rosary, thinking they'd laugh at me. Next thing you know, the three of us became, you know, great friends and prayed the rosary together all the time. So, you know, you never know what's going to come out of those spontaneous things that God prompts, right? That it wasn't Bob that said that last. That was God talking through Bob. Pray it now. Why wait?
Yeah.
So, right. Good stuff.
Yeah, you know.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was that was a precious moment, and I remember, you know, they said, Father, you lead it, you know, and then we got in that circle, and I could just think of Jesus, you know, when two or three come together, and there was the risen Christ right in the midst of us, you know, that was, and then afterwards, it was like laughter and humor, you know, and joy, you know, like Easter joy that we were doing, and it was such a beautiful, precious moment, and you know, yeah, you know, in the beginning, I was like you too, Ken, you know, what's people thinking? And like last night, I didn't think of people.
Nope.
I was thinking of the risen Lord is with us here. And anybody drove by or walked by, and I'm sure that the Lord would have touched them through our faith. You know, and it's so beautiful how we can be witnesses of the risen Lord in our midst. But yeah, what a precious moment that was last night. We did talk about it last night too, Kat.
Yep.
And it was just like reliving it and reliving it again and sharing it with so many listeners now.
Yeah.
So he's with us always until the end of the world.
You got it. Thanks, hey, Patrick. Thanks for the call, Buff.
All right, gentlemen. Have a blessed day.
You too. And we got another caller. Hello, Gail.
Hey,
how are you? This is my
Cleveland. I'm on.
This is our Franciscan sister, Father.
Yeah. We've been praying for you, Gail.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, thank you.
How you doing?
I'm laying here listening. Hold on. I'm laying here listening to everything. I figured, well, I should call in. But I wanted to tell you this, that this is like, I don't know if it's odd or God or just God listening and just leading the way. But, you know, I've been with the fraternity for, I don't know how many years, almost 3 or 4 years. And you talk about Calyx so much. Now, I've known all about that, always was intrigued with it because my son has those issues with addiction. And, you know, not until, I guess, about 2 weeks ago, Doug said something to me. Of course, I wanted my son to go to these meetings. He never wants to go. So I was talking to Doug from our fraternity, and he had said, yeah, I go to them for my daughter. I go in the meetings. And I said, oh, you do? And he said, yeah. I said, I didn't know I can go to that. Now, imagine, you've talked about this so many times, and I never knew I was able to go to listen or to be part of it since my son's going through the addiction. And I said, oh, so I went on, and I can't tell you, they're just such beautiful meetings. They're such, I went to 3 already. I went to 1 today, and it was just so enlightening. And I didn't think I could even get anything out of that. But it's been so beautiful, these people, and it's just been so nice. So I went to him thinking, well, I wonder why I've been led to it now. My son's been going through this. He is now clean, like 9 months from drugs. And I thought, well, why am I going here now? Like, why was I led to this? So I'm sitting down here talking to him one day, and I was asking him something, and he said to me, well, you know, Mom, I still have my other addiction. I said, what addiction? I said, well, we got past one already. I said, we got another one? And then he says, yeah, I still got the gambling. Well, I had forgotten there's layers of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, at that time, I got so mad. And I know that's not what you're supposed to do with people going through this, but my first response is I get angry. Mm. And I didn't want to get angry at him, and I didn't want to be mad at him because I already did that, done that before, and I wanted to be in a better place. And I say it's honor God because God knew before that day he told me I needed these meetings. And I didn't think, you know, it was just amazing how all of a sudden I'm thinking, why am I drawn to the Calyx? So that's my, I don't know if it's considered odd or God, but I felt like it was God leading me there because he knew I needed it. I needed it more than probably he did because I was getting so angry. So I wanted to just pull a plug on the Calyx. It's really just so beautiful. I'm just in awe of it. And I speak very highly of you, Father Dog and Ken. It's just really nice. So that's my little honor, God. And I wanted to go on the air because I know sometimes you don't have callers. And I figured, well, I should call in today.
There you go.
Nah. So here I am.
Awesome.
And I've learned something new with the Calyx. And it's so funny how I was so drawn to it in the beginning of our fraternity, but never really, I guess I just never thought I could be in that, like it wasn't for me, you know?
Yeah.
But it really is in a weird sort of way. And guess who introduced it to me? It was Doug from our fraternity.
Right.
Which I had told you once before. He is such a mentor. Like, God uses him a lot in my life. Give me things.
Mm.
It's so weird. That's why I'm at the fraternity, because of Doug. That's why I went into Ignatius exercises, because of Doug. Every part of my journey has been through somebody telling me something, and he knows I listen to Doug, and I value his opinion, you know? So it's just ironic how the Lord works. He works through people. He knows what you need, and so on. So that's my plug for the day, and I was so happy to be on the air with you guys, and it gave me the chance to be here with you.
Amen. And thanks, Gail, for your holy boldness to go ahead and pick up the phone. It's not that bad, is it?
It's not that
no,
bad. You
know? No.
It really isn't. And to share what God has done in your life, it's so good for people to hear. He's doing it for you. He does it for everybody, and he's really there for you. You know, you just got to open your eyes.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, we as Catholics usually aren't that good at it, so we're getting better. We're getting better, but we still got a ways to go. But now I appreciate it, and especially, you know, Father, you were talking about wanting to do Calyx in another venue and talk about it. And we probably haven't had talked about it in detail here. And now I'm feeling kind of bad that, this is something that, you know, Calyx is available, not just for those that struggle with alcoholism, but with any addiction and those that love them. Because, you know, it's like any sin, any vice, that it doesn't just, you know, the addict thinks that the only person being impacted is themselves. You hear it all the time. Just leave me alone. I'm not hurting anybody. I'm only hurting myself. And it's the
right.
furthest thing from the truth. You know, they hurt Gail, and then, and I'll just, as an example, or, you know, she gets mad at her son because he's involved in an addiction. And then she takes her anger out on a coworker, and the coworker takes it out on their spouse, and the spouse takes it out on the dog, and the dog takes it out on the cat. And, you know,
exactly.
there's this whole, and then there's this whole sequence of events that goes down, and
right.
and that's why Calyx is open to those that are impacted by addiction. It's not just those with the actual addiction. A lot of times they'll be in the Al-Anon program, a 12-step program for those that are affected, but not necessary. So for those that are listening, if you're interested in Calyx, I highly recommend you visit calyxsociety.org. Get in touch with me either through the Our House Ministries website or the Calyx website, or even give Maureen a call here, and she'll be able to pass along my number and we can get in touch. But you're odd, but God reminded me of that, Gail, and I hope there's others that are out there that may realize that Calyx is for them as well.
Well, that's another reason why I wanted to call, because I didn't know. And Cindy actually told me that, too. And I didn't know that. And I don't know why I didn't know it, but I guess it just wasn't my time to know it. But I wanted to make sure that I say that also, because it's an enlightenment to me, and maybe I can help somebody else.
Awesome.
Yeah. Thanks, Gail. You know, they always said that Calyx is the best-kept secret in the Catholic Church. So you're helping to expose it, you know, speaking about it now. So thank you for doing that.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad. I hope it helps somebody.
Yeah.
All right, well, so good talking to you guys.
All right, you too, Gail. Thanks for calling.
Get well.
Take care.
All
Bye-bye.
Right. God
Love
bless.
Bye.
You know, she was saying that, and she just found out, and I think about the number of people that have found us because of the appearances you've made elsewhere, and the talk and the website, and I'm still sticking to my guns. What I said, it's probably 10 years ago now when we were in Omaha, that, you know, Calyx will be to the 21st century what AA was to the 20th century.
I remember you saying that.
Yeah, and the addicts are going to be the ones to rebuild the church. You know, look at our Franciscan fraternity, that's probably 50-50, half the people in recovery and half the people that either aren't, or like we hear with Gail, everybody knows somebody these days that struggles with addiction. And that, you know, through whether it's through Calyx or just through a desire or a need, really, to have God in order to survive with the addiction, to cope with the addiction, it's the addicted that's going to save the church. I firmly believe that. So we'll keep fighting a good fight, and, you know, hearing from, you know, guys like Patrick and how well he's doing, and Gail, and like she mentioned, Doug. I see him now on our Saturday Calyx meeting at noontime. He's been showing up on a regular basis. Cindy's there every week. It's just awesome, and growing. So
yeah, thanks to the the virus.
right. And God brings something good out of everything. You just got to look. Amen. Well, that's it in terms of callers, Father.
Yeah, well, let me share mine.
Yep.
Because, again, it's really related to the risen Lord, you know, in our reading today, our gospel reading, where not our hearts burning within us. If you remember last night, Ken, with the St. Anthony, where Joseph was sharing about his experience with St. Anthony, and his mom telling him, you know, trying to find something and pray the prayer, dear St. Anthony, please come around, something is lost. cannot be found, and if you find it, return it to me, dear St. Anthony, and how happy I would be. I can't tell you how many times I used that prayer and how often I find what I've lost. And my heart burns within me. And that heart burning is the risen Lord. It's St. Anthony's intercession, but it really is the risen Lord who's touching us, because he's the source of everything that's good. So I cleaned off the porch yesterday, Ken, and I came across sort of like a candle holder, and it was St. Anthony, where you put those big candles in. And I didn't know what to do with it. I said, you know, I can't throw this out, and I'm going to give it to somebody. But St. Anthony was very much on my heart. And then I go over to the to the ARC, Addiction Recovering Center, St. Rayfield's there, where we have our meetings. And Goody had put the gigantic Blessed Mother in our calyx room. But he had taken the St. Anthony statue holding the infant and put it on the table. And I said, now what am I going to do with St. Anthony here? I had to find a place for him. So I picked him up and I brought him in the video room, the library room. And I found a place for him. I put him up on top of the bookcase. And something touched me. I was even going to say something to you and Chuck, who were talking. I said, here's St. Anthony. There's going to be a story here about St. Anthony. And then Joseph talks about St. Anthony. And then I kind of say, here's an honor God. I even had that experience that something's going to be said about St. Anthony tonight in our room. And it was. And my heart was burning within me, and it was the risen Lord, odd or God.
Amen. And, it took Joe a few minutes to find the statue up on top of the bookcase and realize that it was there.
Yeah.
And, it was awesome. And mine, it wasn't so much an odd but God, and I already mentioned it in the beginning of the show, just the great stories from the weekend. And I don't know if people just wanted to go someplace, but they showed up at church. From what I hear, they were the reports I got, people were there in droves, and I didn't solicit the reports. They're the people that just happened to get in touch with me or text me, and saying how happy they were to see people back in church again on Easter Sunday. And you know, I think at least I do. I forget sometimes that, you know, last Easter there was no Mass, at least not that we could attend, and you know, the churches were completely shut down. And who would have ever thought that anything would close our churches? And I think going forward, I don't think that there'll be anything that can close them again. I think there'll be riots in the streets if they try to go that far again. But it just to see the hunger for the Lord and the people people's desire to be back in church to receive the sacraments is it was just great to see, great to experience.
Yeah, really. You know, just when I have Mass there at St. Richard's and see so many daily communicants, Ken, and our Lord really loves it. He appreciates the daily communicants so much. It's the Mass that holds everything together. Without the Mass, Satan has his way. Nothing would be alive on the planet. And that's what I was telling the people. You really want to come and thank the Lord. This is one Easter day. Come to daily Mass this week if you can and thank the Lord, you know, because it's just one day, this Easter day, what he's done for us. He destroyed death. He saved our loved ones. They're home with God where they belong. They're praying for us. We're one mystical, eternal body of Jesus Christ, the eternal children of our Father. So if anybody can get the Mass, get the Mass. You won't do anything greater for yourself or for your loved ones or for the world. And it's the Mass and the Eucharist and the sacraments that will make us all saints.
Amen. Well, we got about 6 minutes left, Father, and I know that we're in the octave of Easter, and it's all going to culminate with Easter night on Sunday when we celebrate Divine Mercy Sunday. And just want to spend the last few minutes about the importance of this feast and to really realize that the mercy that we can experience. And, you know, for years I didn't want to experience it. I may have known it existed. I may not have, but it was a foreign thing to me. And now to be able to experience God's mercy on a regular basis, whether it's at Mass, in the Sacrament of Confession, in prayer, to know that I'm loved and that that God truly is all-merciful is such a gift, and so we celebrate it this coming Sunday. And I always think about Father Gately when we were out on retreat, and he talked about Faustina and Divine Mercy Sunday, and when Jesus asked her or told her that he wanted a feast day for Divine Mercy, she said, well, one already exists. And Jesus' response was, yeah, but nobody knows about it. And even in this day and age, even though St. Faustina is now a canonized saint, I think that there's still a struggle amongst those that lead the church in to talk about it, because it is so deep and the message is so great. And, the guys your age and even up until the 90s maybe would not have learned about Divine Mercy and St. Faustina in the seminary. So it's something that if you really, you know, wanted to get a grasp on, you'd have to go back and maybe do your own study or study with a group. And so there's still some parishes where, you know, they don't really celebrate Divine Mercy Sunday and the great feast that it is.
Yeah. You know, and the readings are so beautiful. Of course, we do hear, breathe, saying peace be with you twice, and breathe in the Holy Spirit on them, and whose sins you shall forgive or forgiven them. I mean, here he comes in the room, Ken, and his first word is peace. I mean, you know, these guys abandoned him, denied him, betrayed him, and he could have said something like, Peter's probably hiding behind the group, and he could have said something like, you bums, you know, where were you when I needed you? You really let me down. I just want to come in here and tell you, you're done, I'm going to get 12 new guys, you're out. You know, no, peace be with you. Peace be with you. And then he gives the sacrament of reconciliation, institutes that. Whose sins you shall forgive are forgiven. They need it the most. They needed that forgiveness the most. And they receive that. But then, we'll hear the reading too a week later where Thomas wasn't there the first time. And a week later, Jesus appears. And here's the thing, Ken. Despite the locked doors, he stands in their midst. And I'm always intrigued, you know, when I, back in grade school, sister would talk about this. How did Jesus get in the room if the doors were locked? And I'm thinking as a kid, oh gosh, he could just, you know, walk through the doors and, you know, just like an invisible man, just go right through the doors. And then how did Jesus know that Thomas said, unless I put my hand in his wounds, I won't believe? How did he know? Did Peter rattle him? No, Jesus was always with them. He didn't reveal his presence, but he was listening to Thomas's words at time, and then he knew everything because he never left them. He was there with them. And then in the room, despite the locked door, he appears to them again. And Thomas sees him, and he falls on his knees. He touches those wounds. He guides his hand in his side, my Lord and my God. You know, no one called him God. Now Thomas is calling him God. My Lord and my God. Messiah, Lord, but my God? My God, my Lord and my God. And I always remember Kathy Coyle, Ken, at our Mass this year on Wednesday night, in her 90s. She didn't hear well. She sat like in the first pew. But when we came to the consecration, the elevation of the host, you heard her all through the chapel. My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. And the deaf people, you know, they don't hear the bells when at the elevation. They sign, my Lord and my God, with their hands. And you see the hands flying. Mm. My Lord and my God. So this great feast, they call it the great feast because it's his mercy. It's his greatest attribute because it's his love in action. It's God is love. Now his love is in action. He's forgiven us. And in this scene where he comes to that, he comes in, when you see the painting of the Divine Mercy, he's in a walking stance. He takes the initiative. He comes to us like he went to the apostles. They were scared. They had the doors locked. They were really hurting. You know, they were down and out. And here comes Jesus, loving them. Peace be with you. And he said it again. Peace be with you. What a loving God. What a merciful God we have. We can just grasp that mercy of who we are, you know, and where we come from. We are not our sins. We are not our shortcomings. We are not our character defects. God doesn't make junk. We make the junk, but he's the junk collector. There's something really beautiful in us, and that's what Jesus Christ saw from the cross when he looked down at them and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He wasn't forgiving evil or sin, but his brothers and his sisters in his image and likeness, and he was trying to complete his mission for them and each and every one of us. His mission is to forgive our sins, destroy our death, and bring us home to eternal life.
Amen. Quick blessing, Father, before we go.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. All right, don't go away, listeners. I got Father Robert Spitzer on the line already. We'll be back in a few.
You're listening